Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word getting ascendancy in our hearts. Thank you for our lives will never remain the same. In Jesus' gracious name we pray. Let's be seated. Worship is not just about being charismatic in nature. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's more like you turn on an engine. Have you heard loud engines before for cars? But the car isn't making so much progress, but the engine is very loud. So it's just loud, but it's not making progress. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So a lot of times when we worship without understanding, that's how worship is, even in the spirit. It's as if we are making a lot of noise, but we are not really fulfilling the essence of worship. Are we together? So today's theme is tagged from vision to victory. I will deal with this from two pillars. The first point I would like to hit by the Holy Spirit is the fact that with the example I'm already giving, funny enough, Christianity is really a burden when there is no revelation. It becomes a yoke. Are we together? When there is no revelation. The Bible says where there is no vision, they say the people perish. That scripture is Proverbs 29 and 18. It said, for where there is no vision, the people perish. Hallelujah to Jesus. And what brings about vision? Revelation. Isn't it? The reason you know about where you are going to is because you have a revelation of it yet. So you see, vision is not a manifestation yet, isn't it? It's the ability to see something with your heart that you cannot see with your eyes. The ability to see something with your heart that you cannot see with your eyes. And I think Paul the Apostle tried to expatiate to us this in Ephesians 1 through 17 and 18 and 19. Let's see it briefly. Now, the people here were born again, and Paul was excited for the fact that they were born again. And he said, while he was praying for them, somewhere in 17, he said that the God, now this is still prayer, okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom. It's not enough to be born again. Now he prayed that God gives them the spirit of what? Wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. Please listen very attentively. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you had looked at scripture somewhere in 1 Peter, the writings of Peter, he said in 1 Peter 1:23, he said, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Of course, here there are two things we are seeing, that the word of God is incorruptible and that the word of God is also a seed. Are we together? The word of God is what? Incorruptible. And that the word of God is also what? A seed. Now the Bible says we were born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. We are born again by the word of God. That simply means that talking about our nature in Christ, if we don't understand the word of God, we cannot really conceive the reality of this nature and begin to walk in its reality. Because we're born again by the incorruptible word, seed of God's word. So if we don't understand God's word, there is no way we will understand our new born again nature. You see that? That's why we say it's one thing to be what? Born again. And another thing to walk in the reality of this born again nature that you've got. So when Paul heard they were born again, he thanked God. Meanwhile, he prayed for the spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Are we together? Next part of scripture. He then says, the eyes of their understanding being what? Enlightened. When he's enlightened, what happens? That's vision now. They will know what is the hope of their calling. When they understand the assurance of their calling, I mean, and also the riches of God's glorious inheritance in them, the saints, then what happens next for our scripture? It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the workings of his mighty power. So see all the things Paul is praying for. Go back to the initial one. Give me in the old KJV. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the word? Riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Is that the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know. A rendition says the eyes of your heart. It's a rendition that says the eyes of your heart. This one says the eyes of your understanding. Are we together? Should be what? Enlightened. That we are able to see, that you may know the hope of your calling. So you see, when you have a vision, you understand the expectation that you ought to have. When you have a vision about yourself, you have the right expectation. Knowledge begat vision, vision begat expectation. So if you are expectant of something, there's a way you begin to act, isn't it? There's a way you prepare yourself, isn't it? So God's word says, where there is no what? Vision. He said the people what? Perish. Are we together? So you see, when you don't understand now, same scripture, if we look at Proverbs 29:18, there's a part of scripture in Hosea 4:6, I guess, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You see that? Now, the tale of everything here is perish. For Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. In Hosea 4:6, it said, where there is no knowledge, people what? Perish. So you see that? It's substituted. Because without knowledge, there is no what? Vision. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It says, where there is no vision, my people what? Perish. So it's one thing to be born again, like we saw Paul praying for the people, and another thing to understand the nature of your born again spirit or this born again person. Now, when you don't have this knowledge, you will definitely perish. There's something I even observed somewhere at the middle of this part of scripture. It said that you may know what is the hope of his calling. It said you may know the hope of his calling. And I taught something here before about nurture and nature. Nurture and what? Nature. Now, I believe Paul here is trying to paint hope in the light of nurture. Are we together? That you should see what God expects about you. You know, see what God has done for you and be expectant according to what he has done. See how he calls it. That you may know what the hope of your calling is. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? In other words, if you ought not to sin from God's word, then do not sin. Alright, it is expected of you not to sin. It is expected of you not to be that, not to be this, to be that, to be that. Alright? So, this is all hope. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Is that you may know the hope of your calling, of his calling. And when we say hope of his calling, we're not talking about fivefold ministry. We're talking about the call to being a Christian. The call to being a believer. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And what the riches of the glory. Now, because you see, when you have a knowledge of God right now, it is not automatically going to begin to work in your life in manifestation. It's just knowledge yet. Now, that point where you know, to the point before it gets manifested, what is happening in your heart is hope. To the point where there's a manifestation, to the point that you have known. So I just knew God's word, but I'm yet to see a manifestation. So from this point to manifestation is hope fulfilled. So Paul calls it the hope of your calling. Hallelujah to Jesus. Of course, a man in vision is full of hope. Very full of hope. Very what? Very full of hope. So like I said, the first point I want to hit. You see amazing things in this very simple teaching. The first point I want to hit is the fact that many Christians don't even know in the first place. They don't know. They don't understand the hope of their calling. They don't even have a knowledge of who God wants them to be. And the picture the Holy Spirit painted in my heart while I was meditating is my car. He said, look at your car. And so when I looked at the car from the window in my office, he said, nobody sees the engine, but there's an engine. Everybody that sees a car, if a layman sees a car, he expects the car to move. And he expects the car to take him or her to their destination, isn't it? Well, if the car is not moving, the mechanic will open the bonnet to check what is wrong with the engine. But everybody just, when they see a car, what do they expect the car to do? Move. Many people just, when we say Christian, they just expect people to begin to live holy lives. To live above sin. They begin to paint a picture of heaven or hell to threaten the people so that they live above sin. They look for all means. You have even funny slogans, funny messages. They just want the people to fulfill the goal of being a Christian. But if the Christians aren't living right, the problem is not the Christian, or not the Christian, of course. The problem is the engine room, more like. The system within that empowers you to become an effective Christian. And what's that system? The finished work of Jesus, what he has done on Calvary. Let me give you just the tip of an iceberg. See what the Bible says. We all know the scripture, Romans 6 and 7. We'll all read together. See what it says. For he that is dead is what? Free from sin. Now he said, why are you free from sin? Because you are what? Dead. In the work of redemption. So you see, he's not just telling you, live above sin, live above sin. There's a reason why he's saying live above sin. But if you are a preacher that is not so much knowledgeable, you'll just be telling the people, live above sin, live above sin. And not telling them you are dead already. That if you live in sin, you will die. If you live in sin, you will die. Live above sin. Live above sin. And that becomes a weight, a burden. Because you are not speaking from what Jesus has done. You are not trying to check the engine room of the car, probably, from the example I gave. You are just interested in the car moving. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What do you say? You are already dead in Christ via the work of redemption. Are you listening? And that's the reason why you can live above sin. See it. Meaning God is not expecting us to live. He's not expecting us to live above sin because of hell. Are you listening? The fear of hell is a wrong foundation to live above sin. To stand upon living above sin is a wrong foundation. If you live above sin because of the fear of hell, it's wrong. In other words, a time will come. You'll be tired. In fact, there's a level of trial that will come your way that will shake you because you are not on Christ the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock, we what? All other ground are what? Sinking sand. Whether the ground sounds spiritual or nice, if it's not Christ, it's sinking sand. So where will you spend eternity if you die today, if you die tomorrow? So therefore, brothers and sisters, live above sin. It sounds nice. It points towards righteousness. But it's not righteousness. Are you listening to me? It sounds good, but it's not right. It's man's wisdom. It comes from emotionality. It's a corruption of man's wisdom. The Bible says when we know Christ, we are not tossed to and fro by deceitful ideologies. From where? Man's wisdom. You know, you just figured it out. If I talk to these people in this manner, maybe as a preacher, you say, well, people should understand that there's eternity. And they should not live anyhow because they don't want to find themselves in hell. No. It sounds so nice. But it's not the gospel. The reason why we should live above sin is because we are what? Dead in Christ. You see that? Are you listening? It's too good to be true. Many religious people don't like these kind of things. It's not logical. It doesn't sound nice. But it's the truth. There are a lot of people who know. In fact, the people in sin today, they know about hell. Think about it. Be wise. Who in sin today doesn't know that there's hell? Before you became really serious, let me not say born again, serious with your faith, were you aware there was hellfire? Did it stop you from doing anything you wanted to do? But when you understood the finished work of Jesus, then it's impossible. Because that's what has been given in the realm of the Spirit to stop people from sin. That's God's system for stopping sin. Not the preaching, the emotional teachings of heaven and hell or eternity. The Bible said God preached a message in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10:19, I guess. Is it 5:19 or 10:19? Is it to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself? Yes. Not imputing their trespasses upon them, and had committed unto us the same word of what? You see that? You know, some people feel, wish this thing was never in the Bible. Because they feel more intelligent than God. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting sins against people. You see, a lot of people hate sin. You know, they hate sin, but even the people that hate sin, they still do sin, some of them. Isn't it interesting? That Paul even said it in Scripture. He said, the things I hate, I find myself doing. Wow. You know, one time I was somewhere and a preacher was speaking so hurtful, sin really hurt that guy. And he was really talking to the folks in a very hurtful manner. If you sin, you will die. He comes to their face, die, you will die. And he was feeling so pain. Don't go down and visit the sister. You should not touch your sister. You should not touch your brother. Some of you are wicked in this church. Idiots. I can truly tell he doesn't like sin. And he hated the fact that he had heard news probably of some church folks that misbehaved. The thing really entered him. You know, you preaching as a pastor, teaching the world, and you just hear, why, they just did any one stupid thing in church. And he was so pained. So while I was seated, I truly understood from where he was coming from. I truly understand his pain. And I said in my heart, but the serious face and all these words is not the reason why these people will stop saying. In fact, they may become worse. And I said in my heart, fun enough, even you may be struggling with sin talking like that. And someone may be asking, how sure are you? I saw it from the word of God. You see, I know how to believe the Bible very well. When the Bible says wrong company corrupt good manners, I don't try to calculate and say, well, I know myself, nobody can corrupt me. That's a foolish man speaking. You know, you've got 2-3 folks who are talking rubbish, thinking rubbish, and they are your company, and you are saying, well, I know myself. Nobody can corrupt me. I know who I am. I'm a daughter of Prophet Simon. Whoosh. Whoosh. That doesn't stop you from being foolish. The Bible says, wrong company what? So what are you arguing about? You trust yourself so much, you have wrong companies, and you believe God's word will not prevail. They will not corrupt you. You don't know that one day, what they will be saying will start making sense to you. They always speak about your friend. They always speak about somebody you respect. And you are telling them it's not true, he's not like that. It's not true, she's not like that. But do you know those words are still in your heart? You've not forgotten them. That's why you tell people what they said. Guess what? The other day I was there. This is what they said. 12 years later, you still remember. Now, one day, that person that they are talking against may hurt you. If that person hurts you, everything you have heard will come alive before you now. You begin to find a way to fix those allegations on the person's life. How many of you have been there before? So, Some don't even know that some have passed that place and gone. They don't even know that they have entered here before. That's why the Bible says the words of the wicked wait in search of blood, wound, trouble. All of a sudden you remember everything they've said. You know, you were just afar. Not so far. Hearing the words they say about probably your leader, your friend, probably even your pastor. And you tell them, you guys are wicked. I know Prophet Simon, he's not like that. And one day you come to church and you're about to go and ease yourself. One demonic ease yourself. And as you stood up, Prophet said, go back and sit down. Something is wrong with you. You just stand up and miss public and go back. And it's so painful. So in the whole service, you are just thinking about the embarrassment. You are not even focused on the word. Are you listening? And after the service, you go back home meditating and the devil reminds you. Didn't they say prophet is arrogant? See how he spoke to the Lord's sheep. Disgraced me in public and I truly was feeling like easing myself. It's got no good. You sat there, you still did not ease yourself till the service finished. In fact, you, out of anger, you refuse to use the restroom. You now went to your own restroom. That simply means, for we to say sit down, it simply means there's a grace to hold that thing. While we're going up, if you just stand, you want to go and use it, they will say, go sit down. Learn patience. What if you're in a public place? How many of you are trained like that? If you're not trained like that, you can't travel now. Driver, wait. Driver, wait. But if you're trained like that, you can travel. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if God says wrong company corrupt good manners, I believe it. If God says this, I believe it. If God says how he got and he wants to keep on getting sinners convicted, it's not by imputing their sins against them. I believe it. By the message that doesn't impute sins against me, no problem. God, you are God, and I'm not. You know better than me. But it's so tempting to just follow logic. You know, when you tell people, where will you spend eternity? Everybody is interested. They feel emotional. But they don't change. And if they change, it's no more than 2 weeks. Listen, I'm not trying to, you know, talk down any preacher or anybody. I read that from A.W. Scanlon material. He said, he's not moved when he heard 2,000 receive Jesus. He goes to check the message that was preached that led the 2,000. And when he sees the message, he's sure nothing happened in the meeting. Because these same people will go back to where they are coming from. Have you seen people go back to where they are coming from? Have you seen people who are born again and go back like they were never born again? Are you people, talk to me like you understand what I'm trying to say. Meanwhile, we have seen people who somehow received such messages, came into the fold, struggled, crawled, walked on the ground, walked on their knees, and somehow they were liberated by the message of grace. You know, you became born again by such a message. And your walk with God is like you are crawling. Please follow me. It's like you are crawling. God, I want to serve you. Please. You know, and we can tell from your songs. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you people here tonight? We fall down, but we can tell all the things you're struggling with. From your songs, your choice of songs, your choice of words. We can tell you are truly struggling. And all of a sudden, somebody comes with a message that is so liberating. The message of grace. And he's teaching so good to be true. Too good to be true. They were with weights and Jesus came. And started teaching the message of grace. The message of the kingdom. They couldn't believe him. The Bible says he came to his own received. They wanted weights. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? They wanted weight. They wanted the traditions of men. Isn't Mark 17:13? I think Mark 7:13. It said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Giving the TBT or NLT. Any of the rendition you get first. It says, do you really think God will honor your traditions passed to others? He was talking to the Pharisees. He said, making up these rules that nullify God's word. What do the rules do? The traditions. They what? Nullify the word of God. He said, and you are doing many other things like that. When Jesus came, they were nullifying God's word because of their tradition. Are you all listening to me? It was very difficult. They just wanted weight. There are a lot of Christians like that. They like weight. Except they sweat. They don't feel like they've prayed. You know, I saw some folks saying, Jesus prayed and there was blood. So they want to pray and know they've prayed until they've seen blood flowing from their sweat. Then they know they've prayed. One said, if I don't sweat, I don't believe and pray. Before resurrection, Jesus was trying to push into the kingdom. And that's why he died. He went there as the man Jesus. Are you listening to me? He still had fear because he had love of humanity on his inside. He came like a man. He said, Father, if it was possible, let your cup, this cup, what? Pass me by. There was fear, even in his prayer. You could tell fear. He said it in the Bible. It was in that deep prayer, he said, Lord, after the deep prayer, not before the deep prayer, at the end of the prayer, Father, if it's possible, it is not possible. He said, let this cup pass me by. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. So, are you going to die? You that want to see blood from me, are you going to die for the world? After Jesus resurrected, prayer is not pushing, it is the rest. Tell somebody the rest. Isaiah prophesied about tongues in the Old Testament. He said, we strain tongues, will the Father bring us into rest? I'm trying to paraphrase the scripture. When we pray in the Spirit, we are resting in the finished work of Jesus. I was listening to Andrew Mack one day. I will never forget. He said some things that almost got tears from my eyes. He said he had, you know, he was checking his comment on YouTube or so, and somebody said, what kind of a boring man is this? He's just boring, talking so boring. I don't know if you have watched Andrew Mack before. I don't know if you know Andrew Mack. So the guy wrote, what kind of a boring human being is this? And people are watching, it sounds so boring. And he didn't allow the thing get to him. So one other time, I was listening to him, and he said, I saw a comment, someone says, I'm sounding so boring, blah, 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 and the rest. He said, well, it's not about me or how boring I sound. It's about God's word. I've learned to believe God's word over the years. Then he began to mention, that is why I've seen more than 10 people come back to life, including my son and my wife. And that's why I've done a project over $200 million debt-free. I mentioned so many things. I was just looking. I said, what a foolish young man. He just wanted Andromeda to come out. You are on the world, girl! No! It's about the word of God. It's not about your charisma. Are you listening to me? I don't think the whole project in the city is up to the project Andromeda started. Bible schools and churches, Bible school. He has a campus, a Bible university. Hectares of land. Over 200 million building done already. More millions about to be completed. Debt free. Seen more than 10 people come back to life, including his second son and his wife. Are you listening to me? God did not say, oh, you sound dull, Andrew. You will not see the manifestation. No. So many people are always swayed by charisma. There was a man in scripture called Apollos. In Acts 18. He had so much charisma, but he was very wrong with his charisma while he was preaching. So much charisma, but he was wrong. And two folks called him who were students of Paul, Aquila and Priscilla. And they said to him, of which baptism were you baptized? He said, of John's baptism. He said, oh, that's the only thing. They asked him, that's the only one you know? He said, yes. Then they said, that's why you are limited. A lot of people are not limited because they don't even know anything. A lot of people are limited because of what they actually know. Their level of knowledge. So you see, Apollos addressed life from a point of view, John's baptism. He saw everything in God's word from what? John's baptism. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Not understanding that John's baptism was pointing to the actual baptism, which is the baptism of Jesus. And that's why when that happened, Paul the apostle laid hands on him and even became more effective. I told you the story is in the Bible, that in 2 Corinthians 4, the city will be torn into two, Apollos and Paul. Some crowd will come to Apollos, some, and who got him baptized in the Holy Ghost? Paul. But he had now more, a lot of impact because he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you all listening to me tonight? He was humble. But is everybody going to be humble like Apollos? I don't think everybody will accept the truth like Apollos did. In fact, it was not Paul who preached to him. It was the student of Paul that preached to him. Hallelujah to Jesus. And just to add this, I'm sure they were not like Apollos. What a stupid sermon you preach. No, I'm sure they were kind in their words. Are you listening to me? They were respectful to Apollos. And they presented their fact with so much respect. And I'm sure that's why he decided to follow them to see who trained them that way. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And received truth, and where he was laid hands upon, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to do mighty things for God because he was a humble man. But the point is that he had a lot of charisma, but he didn't know. That simply means charisma does not reciprocate knowledge. Are you listening? You could have a lot of charisma and be very wrong. Very, very wrong. A lot of folks in the body of Christ today have a lot of charisma, yet they are very wrong. And you know why they don't want to accept the truth? Some of them is because such this style of ministry, they've seen it in the past. Take for instance, like I always say, somebody coming to becoming the Moses of our generation. Such a person is ignorant. Or somebody coming to become the Elijah of our generation. Such a person is what? Ignorant. Or the Elisha or the Joseph of our generation. The person is what? Ignorant. Because the Bible says the prototype for humanity is none of them. Else Jesus would have not come if they were perfect men for Christianity. Are you guys here tonight? But because they were not, Jesus had to come. Is of all men born of women, none is what? Than who? But he said what? The least in the kingdom. Who are in the kingdom? We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, we all, into what? God's marvelous light. Say, I'm in the kingdom. Then he says the least. The least is not the least in power. The least that became born again. The last person who became born again here is greater than John the Baptist. You see that? Do you believe God's word? Now, you didn't make it that way. But there are some folks that, because their names were not in the Bible, they feel the people's name in the Bible are bigger than them. According to God's word, Moses is not bigger than me. Because what I've partaken of, he didn't partake of on the earth in his time. I'm sure he would have partaken in heaven. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But while on the earth, he didn't partake of it. So the glory of God I have on the earth is greater than that which Moses ever had on the earth. Say amen. Amen. And I'm just touching knowledge yet. We'll see the vision. See how to conceive them as our consciousness. Then it translated into victory. Are you here tonight? So many people are suffering as Christians. Many because they've not conceived this knowledge yet. They don't have it on their inside. The Bible says there's a wisdom that's been hidden in ages past for our glory. 1 Corinthians 2. Colossians 1, 26, 27. Is that wisdom is what? Christ in us. It calls that Christ in us the what? The assurance of glory. The assurance of what? Glory. The assurance of what? Glory. Christ in us. And when we say Christ be revealed in us, we're not saying Christ will come out with hands and head and leg and say, oh, see me, I came out from him. No. We're talking about the manifestation of God's word. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It happens from knowledge to vision to imagination, then manifestation. I'll show you something about that imagination very soon, but let's keep on building. Are we together? Are you following? So like I said last Tuesday, do not be moved when you see people with charisma I'm not saying feel jealous. I'm saying don't feel like you are lesser. The way you are, I want you to sound more powerful. They don't sound powerful. If you are not powerful, you are not powerful. Have you ever heard powerful sound? No. A man that has authority just gives an order. He doesn't need to shout. With the way Tinubu is talking, nobody should hear him. But because he is in a place of authority, everybody hears him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You heard the way your president talks, right? If he was not the president, he would be taken for a joke. But because he's a president, when he says something, military are moving, police are moving, everybody are moving. Because he had what? Said it. Say, I've got authority. So many Christians are perishing for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We have a lot of sick Christians because they have hope to live right, and they were not living right. Paul said, that which I hate to do, I hate to do. I find myself doing it. That which I hate to do, meaning I've preached against it, I've told people it's wrong, yet I did it. Then he said, oh wretched man that I am, in that state, not in his entire, in the entirety of his being. He now said, who can deliver me from this? Then somehow the tale of Romans 7, he said, but I thank God for the cross of Jesus. And in 8:1, which is a continuation, he said, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because they don't walk after the flesh, they walk after what? The spirit. The actuality of their being. The real them. Who are spirit. Who is a spirit? So I'm a spirit. Walk in the spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The real you is willing to do God's will. But you see, the flesh that contains you don't want to do it. But that's not you. Hallelujah. And if you should mount up the consciousness of the supernatural, the spirit, who is the actual you, you go beyond the flesh to do God's will. You see that? He said, there is now no condemnation to them who are in what? Such folks don't walk after the nature of the flesh. They are walking in the real nature of themselves. The spirit. That is why there is no condemnation. There will be never a day when they will be accused of stealing. There will be never a day when they will be accused of fornication. Because they don't walk after the flesh. Their confidence is in the spirit. They take no delight in the flesh. Are you listening to me? And that's why they will never be found in sin. So you see, your nothing about you can make you live in the glory. Nothing about you. It's everything about Jesus' work on Calvary. You see that? That is why we don't stress ourselves even in prayer. We know it's done. We don't pray like we want to get it done. We pray because it's done. Prayer is the rest. He said, there's a rest prepared for you. How beautiful is scripture. He said, but we labor to enter into that rest. And the Bible calls labor in scripture studying God's word and prayers. He said, give double honor to the ones who labor in the word and in what? Doctrine. In prayers for you. Labor is knowing God's word and what? Praying. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's too good to be true. That's why many people are not accepting it. What is cheap, people take for granted. And that's why a lot of people, gullible people are in church. They are paying for everything in church. They are paying, in fact, they are paying terribly. If they are not paying money, they are paying ignorance. They are paying suffering because they want to receive ignorance. Someone has to sound somehow deep or strange before they accept it. And they are suffering for that. You know, the other day, a friend told me to see a link. And when I was looking at the video, the person said there are 3 families in the world. I couldn't even cram it because it's so funny. I couldn't even say a word about it. Said they are Shem. I was with Courage driving when it was... What is Courage? The Shem family. The Ham. And what? Japhet. And he says, we Africans, we come from the Ham family. He said, and we saw the nakedness of our father, Noah. and that's why we became blacks. That's what Pastor K added. I said, that is why, the one I heard was that is why we are cursed. That we are under a curse. Because we saw the nakedness of our father, Noah. Firstly, Noah is not my father. That's the first thing I want to start with. I don't know Noah. I've never met Noah in my life. I only read about a man called Noah in scripture. He didn't create me. How the hell would God put a problem of Noah on my life? Picture God for a moment, somebody. Can God do such a thing? You see, the knowledge of God in their heart is the reason why they are judging God like that. If you see the realm of the spirit and see God, he's like this. My hand no deal. They have a wrong perspective about God. And there's this pride and arrogance presenting it with confidence. How the hell will you even say such a thing? Where did you see it in the Bible? Nowhere. Now, these are some of the things the Lord told them that he promised, told them not to say to the people. They should say it once in a while. You know, sometimes preachers are like that. They say, I saw into the third heavens and God told me not to say some things I saw because you can't take them. I'm sure that's one of the things that we can't take. And hell yes, we are not taking it. That's sick. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Doesn't make any sense. You know, while I was growing up, I told the Lord, I want to come to a point where I can teach this word to intellectuals, to great scientists. They can hear me and understand what I'm saying. It will make a lot of sense to them. I said, I want to come to that point of knowledge that I'm commanding all the elites in the world to listen to me. I can't listen to such bullshit. Because it's not in the Bible. It only takes a daft man who never went to school to believe such a lie. And that's one of the problems of Christianity. There are a lot of people running with that. Do you know the meaning of what you just said? Do you know how many thousands of people probably listen to such a person? Do you know how many people now are praying against the curse of Noah? I mean, we see against that curse of Noah. You know, I was trying to read some books on prayer lately. I watched my knee. And while I was reading, I saw this book. So I said, I won't call the name of the writer. I said, let me open it and look at it. I like watch my knees so well. And when I opened it, when I was reading the content, because I don't read books anyhow, I look at the content. I want to see what I'm reading on. When I was looking at the content, I was so marveled. They were teaching, firstly, prayer, this, that, the ranks of prayer. They now started telling us about the activities of Satan. So, they are different prayers. Prayer against wolves. Prayer against black spirits. Prayer against otters. Prayer against spirit of death. Prayer against spirit against long life. Prayer against, it was over 50 or 60 prayer against. So, I said, okay, early in the morning, I'll wake up. Pray against this. Pray again. Pray again. What kind of a foolish life am I living? Many people are like that pray like that. They don't think well. They think like they have mental problems. If you observe, people that pray like that always think like they have trust issues. When they turn here and keep water, before they drink it, they'll ask who passed here. They are always suspecting people. Somebody just passed here and I felt headache. Who passed here? It was the woman that married your second father, the child of your mother that followed the other father. That witch, she sent something. Gather. Call my prayer team. Hey, get, she passed. Ah, such a cheap Christian. That somebody passed and was able to come into your spirit and infect you. You're such a cheap Christian that you died, see, and you went to heaven. And you met God Almighty. He said, what brought you here? And you are saying, sir, it's the wickedness of my father's second wife. He said, the wickedness? Then he said, when they were teaching you the word, you hardened your heart. Look at you. Look at what killed you. They'll first show you Satan. He's like this. Or less than this finger. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, finally, you see, when you see that old serpent that's been distorting you, has been disturbing you, you'll be like, what? Is it this thing? Is it this thing that shook the world? You know the way a lot of people take Satan serious? When they look at us and hear us, they are angry. This guy don't know Satan, he's just capping rubbish. You don't know the word capping? Are you shocked? I've been watching Facebook too. He's saying rubbish. How can this boy tell? He's deceiving the young folks. They are following him. Oh, someone told me one time, I said, I pity your congregation. And I laughed. And I thank God for his life. No, some things you don't even talk, you just move on. You know, when you are trying to cross drive and goats want to pass the road, you just wait for them to pass. There's no problem there. Will you come out and quiet the goats? You allow them pass. Then you go, that's not something to even tell somebody. I was driving today and goats were trying to cross the road. Can you imagine? You don't even talk about it. Why? Because the person feels like we are teaching people to be so free. Not to fight the devil. Some people, if they remove Satan from their message, there is no message. Imagine God wants to teach in this church. God Almighty comes as Jesus. He wants to teach. He will now hold the mic. And be like, well, you see, there are three realms of demonic power. Will you be aback? Will you be surprised? You see, the first realm of demonic power is a realm where, and Jesus is walking with his suit. Is it the second realm of demonic power is the call this. That is where some of your wisdom. Hey, Jesus will not be like that. Jesus want to tell you about the glory. Yeah. Where I am, I want to tell you about your environment because it's your supposed environment. We've been translating from the kingdom of what? We're into something. Let's talk about where we are. We don't care about that old world of sin. Why in Christ Jesus? We are new creatures. Not creatures. That's the problem again. New what? Creatures. I'm hearing creatures here. Can you imagine that? Now that's why you would not even walk in the glory. The pronunciation and the meaning is wrong in your mind. Say, I'm a new creature. Hi, dumb people. Say it one more time. I'm a new choir, don't say, let me see something. Every other person said, want to go. I'm a new. Oh, the problem didn't come now. Alright. Don't worry, after the service you can see your own. We're new creatures. New creatures. Never been seen before. You know, it should get you excited. It should get you excited. You must keep on, see, you think it's a joke? You'll be addicted to you die if you don't believe the word of God. You think we'll pity you with truth? Say one day, I know I'll leave this habit one day. You are 10 years, you are saying one day. It's killing you, I say one day. I can't lie for you. You must believe God's word. It must be your vibe. Like you feel the word of God. You feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You talk the word. It just gets you excited. When you are smiling, it's because of the word. When you are jumping on the streets, it's because of the word. That's how you take your victory. The Bible says, Abraham rejoiced to see my days. You see that? We don't see to rejoice. We rejoice to see. Oh, I'm happy. Glory, glory. I'm above. You imagine it. When you have the knowledge, the second thing you do is what? Imagination. You begin to imagine it. You imagine it. Are you here? Yes, sir. Let me show you a scripture. In Psalms 1. Give you a Hebrew word and I think one Greek word. Psalms 1. We'll read from verse 1. Let's read together. One, two, go. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Are you feeling the Holy Ghost in this place? Let's read again. One, two, go. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Woo, glory. Glory. Next part of scripture. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his, he meditates day and night. He meditates. He meditates. I will not bother myself to give you the Greek word, but I'll just show you something from a Greek word. Somehow. 2:1. I want everybody to read. Why do the heathen, what? 2:1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Give me the old KJV. The old KJV. Want to go. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The same word here, imagine in Greek, in Hebrew, sorry, is the same word for meditate in Psalms 2:1. Go back to meditate. Psalms 2:1. 1 and 2, I mean. 1 and 2. I just want to show you something powerful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Underline the word meditate. Go to 2:1. So you see something now. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? So you see, God calls meditation imagination. He calls what? Meditation. Did you catch what I'm trying to explain? I don't think you got what I'm trying to say. That when you begin to meditate, you are imagining. You are imagining things. So in other words, let's read some Psalms 1 and 2. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What is the resultant effect? 3. Then it says, he shall be like a tree. Wow. So if you imagine, it will happen. Or if you meditate, it will happen. But I think imagination makes more sense. If you imagine, it will happen. Take the word of God. He said, by your my stripes you are healed. See yourself healed because they flogged him. Woo! Don't just cry. It's going to be Friday again. Some people start crying with cancer in their stomach. Don't cry alone. When you are done crying, shout glory, glory, glory. Imagine yourself out of sickness. By his stripes I'm made whole. Imagine it. Imagine it. Imagine it. Imagine it. Imagine it. Oh my God. You know, one time I was listening to Andrew Womack again. He's one of my teachers. And I heard him say something that blessed me. He said he was in trouble one time in his life. He was owing a lot of people. In fact, people start saying, that pastor, if you have God, why are you owing? He was in debt. Different banks. Banks were on him. And he was in over 110. Some people are feeling okay now. They say, ah, Roman did it. Oh, God. Now, that's where he was. Not where he is. And he said he regretted that part of his life. He said he was in 110 radio stations. So he was popular. But with debt too. And when he was about to enter into TV ministry, he said, God, no. It's not this kind of life I used to enter TV ministry. He said, this kind of debt? Then I entered TV ministry. I'm dead. That means you'll be seeing my face well now. As the one that was. He said, then he took, it was so much a burden in his heart. He took more than 100 scriptures from the Bible that talks about prosperity. He said he began to meditate. Imagine himself. Imagine himself. Imagine himself. When the Bible said, he would just put himself, calling Andrew Womack, he would picture himself, picture himself, picture himself. He said, until he found out that he was inspired to start a project and he wants to be very sincere. He had $0 when he started the project. But he finished the project with over $32 million debt free. I was just watching. I was so shocked. He said he started with zero. He said they should lay foundation. There was zero. They started laying foundation. As we're doing, the money was coming. As we're doing it, the money was coming. $32 million finished the project. Debt free. He said the engineer that for the project was wondering if they can do the next project because it's bigger than the current one. He said because Andrew will just tell us to wait for a while before he sends another money. I don't think he will ever get the next project done. Then he said the guy can go, no problem. They finished everything and they called him to see. Bigger and better. They had to call him to come and see it. It's done. You know why they wanted him to go? Because if you don't believe it, and you are the one doing the project, even we will not see it. I can't send this man to go to Vandika if he don't believe he can win it. Souls of 1,000. That's why some of you are a limitation. You can't win 10 souls. Because you don't see it. You don't see it. If you see it, you do it. You don't see anything. You don't. I love the silence. Everything, boom. Yeah, boom. You can't act on the word. I'm above. You are playing religion. Just go and become a babalawo. I'm above only. Never been there. Sickness won't wound you. You don't nearly kill you. I have money. Money coming to me now in the name of Jesus. After saying, my guy, I beg, if you send me 2K. You don't believe nothing. You are a mamalawo in church. Just go and become. Go and become. Call one thing there. Leave Christianity because you are just faking it. How can you know the word of God and beg? He said, since I was born now and getting old, David, did you pass Nigeria? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor beg for bread. Do we agree with David? I know why the response is not struck. Do we agree with David in this church? Are you the righteous?
Yes, sir.
You agree with David?
Yes, sir.
It's only expedient to shout yes, sir. If we finish this service now, you beg. You are a taboo to righteousness. Taboo. You are a disgrace. David will write your name. You will make David doubt the scriptures. You don't beg as a righteous. No. You don't beg, man. You don't beg God. God, I beg. I've seen that video. God, I beg, not die a day. God, I beg, not die a day. You see people post picture and God, I beg, not die a day. That's the showcase of ignorance. He's your father and he's a good father. A very good father. And you know, funny enough, it's people that say he's a good father that beg after service. They led it in church. He's a good father. It's who you were. And in their status, God, I beg, not die a day. You don't even believe what you sang. It is now just religion. And you know, they love people like that in church. They sing songs, they don't even know the meaning of it. Goodbye word with no string. I say no longer with you. Goodbye, precious of sin. No shrink. Very long one. I made up my mind to go say leg rings, even doing ch. As you are done, you say ch. Ch. Is that into the leg chain? Is that into the melody? It's one of the instruments. He made up my mind. Ch. Ch. Like this, what do they call this? Shekere. Like Shekere. That's the person singing that kind of song. It's just religion. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Or somebody that's singing, give, it shall come back to you. Ooh, good plan. And I need over. give offering box, it shall come back to you. Lylon, oh, give. Oh my God. They are singing, give, it shall come back to you. They haven't doing a reason around. Good measure. Ooh. You know, years ago while we were growing up, I was wondering why somebody would be singing worship and still be living in sin. In fact, where I grew up, at some point, I observed that the people that even were singing did not take Christianity serious than other people. Not trying to condemn them. And I found that they're playing religion. They are just playing religion. They are thinking singing is different from other aspects of Christianity. Because if you truly understand worship, your life should look like what you are singing. Are you here tonight? So just conclude before I continue. If you want to get things changed in the kingdom, don't just go with folks. Don't just go with folks. It's not like we tell you, don't just work hard, work smart. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Imbibe God cultures, God system. We're taking over the world in the name of Jesus. You go charge, you charge in. We're taking over the world today. Charge in, they will hit you. Satan will hit you down. If you don't go with God's system. That's why our songs will tell our desperations and tell our ignorance at the same time. You hear a song that says, I want to drink Coca-Cola, fire, fire, fire. It's as if they should light you with matches. In fact, that's how some people feel. They should come now and light them with matches so that they will feel that fire. They want to feel it on their body. Feeling that if they don't feel some kind of crazy, if their dad does not turn in church, scatter in church, then you feel you've not started. All of these things are just religion. Am I saying you can't pray to a point to behave abnormal? You can. I've done it a lot. That's why when I pray, I don't like people looking at me. Even my wife, there's a way I want to pray, I will lock myself in my room and pray. Because I feel embarrassed the way she will see. Is this Prophet Simon? Is this the way you pray? Oh, there, God. Because there's a way I cry sometimes like a mad person. There's a way I do my mouth sometimes. There's a way I just lie down sometimes. So I want only God to see that nakedness. You know, one time, Mama T was praying. So I opened the door. And she started smiling. Because I was looking at her into her eyes. And I was like this. I can be funny, you know. And I opened the door. She was just... So, as she just saw me, she just started laughing in the prayer. Pastor Simon, see what you are doing. I don't like this thing. Why? Because of the way she bent her mouth. The tongue was so ugly. Her face was one kind. I said, what is this woman on my own? I said... And I closed the door. I said, you can continue. Yeah, sometimes you can pray and ugly events are happening in the prayer. You are still in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I'm not talking about that one, that before you start, you have created the ugly events. Before you start prayer, your hand is like this. Are you okay? See, it's prayer posture. When we talk, they say we are jealous. Jealous of what, for goodness sake? A lot of people are buying into that. Have you seen people that you know pray like this, all of a sudden start doing like this? Have you seen? Then, that's what you do now. I wonder, what the heck got to this guy? I know him to be praying like this, Lobra. But, you know, and when they see somebody pray, let's pray in the spirit. Libron, Skaba, Shavra, Hai, Leros, Skiba, Skuba. This one has not ascended. He's in the basement of the courts of heaven. When you ascend into the place of angels,
You can't be normal. And they see somebody in the third heavens being like, Lirabal Sambria, Liros Kava, Rahes Uvrihen Nesibra. This one is formed for prayer. And I'm not talking about those who are truly forming in prayer. You know, some people actually form in prayer. It's not their tongues, but they learnt it somewhere. They probably heard Pastor Chris. Then they'll just come to me, Liran Nesahai, Arizahai. You are deceiving yourself. The way the thing they do you, that's the way you should release it. If you want to pray, start in gagagu gagagu gadush. The problem is that you see, because you have been playing with gadush now, but if you feel like doing it, like, do it like that. Not that you're a gadu. Somebody will ask, we're waiting to bring gadus for these talks. Continue praying. You know, one time I was praying, and there was this lady that was friends with in Kaduna. And the guy was just praying. And he knows about the problem with the lady. You know, how some things happened. You know, that I did not date the lady. So he was a terrible pastor. He did tell me, no. It was more friendship, something, and feelings were coming from her side, so I cut it short. And he was in the middle of the whole thing. He was my roommate. So while we were praying one night, we just went labra hanja. Then he not mentioned the lady's name in the tongues. You are waiting for me to mention the lady's name. I will not mention. So we're praying. He not mentioned the lady's name. When he mentioned it, I just stopped immediately. And I looked at him. So he now looked at me. I said, you think I don't know what you are doing, Abby? He not did like this. I said, we are praying, you are calling this lady's name. Why are you playing in tongues? What was your problem now? So for someone, I didn't know that I mentioned the lady's name. I said, so you are joking with me, Abby? Try that rubbish again. I warned him in the prayer. And we continued praying. And now he was being conscious not to mistakenly go and mention it again. So when we come to church, sometimes we will pray with tongues. Like this man that has been playing with tongues, Ganduji. What do they call this guy? Indaboski. What if you are praying one time and Lebra Handaboski Labrande Kabadaboski? Some people will not turn to you and say, now Indaboski brother be this. Then you are praying Bahuse Bahara Disha Bahuse Laha. Bahuse. Wow. How many of you have had this kind of experience before? You mention something that is funny in tongues. You must have a disciplined mind to continue that prayer. So in essence, I'm saying don't form tongues. What did I say? That I spoke about that way of praying does not mean you go and form sweet tongues. Like one of my friends that copied one Arabian tongues like that. He went and copied it. Then when we came to church, he started doing it. Only me knew that he was doing what was not his. I was just looking at the guy. I said, I remember where I heard this thing from. The anointing won't flow like that. Sometimes your tongues can be just one syllable. Don't be proud. See, Bible say we pray with new tongues. Me na kaka kaka. Wait till they worry myself. I go show them say my I don't pass that height. Kaka do gadiga kaka do. Respect yourselves. Stay at that kaka kaka kaka. You don't know that you are cutting something in the spirit. Stay there. Don't try to make your tongues sound nice. You know, one time I heard a preacher, and I think that's the balance to it. He said, some people are praying, and what is, what is your business with somebody's tongues? I mean, he was saying it on the board. He said, what is the meaning of, is it your business? There was a day, these people, they are from CAC. My spiritual father comes from CAC. His father is a CAC, one of CAC founding pastors. So, one time, some of the CAC pastors came to their house. And I was privileged to be there. Then they were leading prayer. And I was trying to iron his clothes. Then I saw him gudu. I was shocked. I just turned sharp. I've never heard that kind of tongues in my life before. Igudureka, igu, iguduko, ikata. And I peeped. They closed their eyes. I said they were praying to God. And I respected myself. My spiritual father just came. I said, sir. He said, yeah, the tongues are me. He said, he's praying in tongues. Leave it for them like that. That's their own. You knew fine one. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so that's the balance. So as I'm saying this thing, I don't mean when you go out there and hear somebody do, this one, I'm more worried. No. But I'm talking about those ones that before anything, they've created a push-up. It is a pattern. Even their mouth has moved one side before the prayer started. What the heck is wrong with you? It's people like them that will insult Andromachus from TV. Jesus died for you. So, you see, your God's righteousness. I'm like, what, baby? What the heck is he saying? They want to hear. See, you see, when God's power. Come into this assembly. Somebody's way. You don't force it to be your way. It must not be everybody's way. There are people like that who are truly anointed. It's their way. I've seen people like that and admire them. But if I try it, I start laughing at myself immediately. Because it's not my way. My friend Zev was telling me about a young man in Kaduna. He said he doesn't have a life. He has patterned three things. He prays like so-so person. He dances like another person. Then he began to sing recently like another person. So him now, if he wants to dance now, I will not do the dance for you people. You. Then if he wants to pray, is in a certain way. He just pushes us that. Then if he wants to sing, in a certain way. So he now said, called the boy. I said, what is wrong? He said, that's the dimensions God gave him. You see? Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Such a person now will be living his life thinking it's spiritual, not knowing that he has not even started anything spiritual. And when life hits them, they begin to wonder. Somebody will say, but he's 5 years in the faith. 5 years with what? Imagine you are 5 years in the university and you could not pass your first semester exam. Will you graduate? There's one course, two courses, three courses you are failing from. You graduate because you don't know it. That's how some people are as Christians. They don't want to grow in knowledge. And when you tell them this is wrong, they will say, no, it's right. This is why they are stunted in growth. Are you listening? Glory to God forevermore. And you know the astonishing thing with this thing is that when you grow in such a place where there is no knowledge, when knowledge begins to come, those wrong lifestyle you began to live because of insufficient knowledge, if you don't want to live there, you begin to fight the one that is bringing knowledge. There are Christians that don't like sound teaching of the word. They don't like it. They get intimidated. When somebody is teaching sound doctrine, they just get intimidated by default because they've gone deep in sin. You know, when somebody, for instance, listen, if for instance a lady, for example, is deeply into sexual immorality and she has fed her life, she has graduated as a result of that lifestyle, and she's feeding her family from that lifestyle, if you try to teach her the true word of God, she'll find it difficult to believe because she'll be asking herself, where will I start from? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Where will I start from? And guess what? That's just one side of it. If another person comes and says, see, your sin does not take you to hell. What takes you to hell is you not believing in Jesus Christ. She'll say, yes, that's my pastor. They are with what? Itchy ears. Looking for whom to believe that sounds like what they want to hear. You see that? It's so funny, the most funny statement I've ever heard in my life. The people that say this thing, they think they are speaking from deep knowledge. It's from shallow knowledge they are speaking from. Listen, he says, your sin does not take you to hell. What takes you to hell is you not believing in Jesus. You sound funny, brother. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Will not what? Why? The person has what? You see that? That simply means if you believe Jesus and have eternal life, you stop living in sin and of course not perish. So there is no way you will remove living above sin and believing in Jesus. Say, believing in Jesus is different. Living above sin is different. You are being funny. Because in him we live. In him we what? In him we what? If anybody be in Christ, Jesus is the what? It's very difficult to believe what is false. To defend it, I mean. Or expatiate on it. Before the person said it, I remember he made a statement. He said, if I say this, I know many people will not believe me. Why would they believe you? It's not the truth. And I was bold to tell my wife something. I said, you can tell from their fruit. He was wearing a nose ring, the man of God. Had long hair, dreads everywhere. Tattoo from here. It's only his eye, face that don't have tattoo. From his neck to his almost his leg. Everywhere tattoo. Wearing shorts. We are seeing the tattoo after the shorts. Then nose ring. Then dread. The only thing remaining now is that he has not bust his esophagus. Because he has bust even his ear more than. And somebody said, Pastor Sam, are you condemning? I'm not condemning. We are telling him to go and sit down in the school of spirit and learn again the word of God. Learn, unlearn, and what? Relearn. Because what we are seeing is a spirit that has no rest. If you have rest, I'm not trying to compare myself with him. I don't care whether he wants to look like me or not. But if you have rest, what are you wearing some things for? Because Paul said something. He said, all things are permissible. He said, but not all things are what? Necessary. As Christians, we don't do the permissible. What Paul meant is that you can do, you are free to do anything you want in this world. Even to kill your father is free. If he's sleeping, just press it with pillow. Well, is everything permitted? Huh? Is everything necessary? Doing what is necessary is doing the vitals and leaving every other thing that is not vital, which is sin. Then he said something, if eating meat will cause your brother to sin, don't even eat it. That's what Paul said. Now, if I put on nose ring, some people will believe what I'm teaching. Some people will not believe. For the sake of the ones that will not believe, I will not put it. Nose ring is not worthy enough to cause me to lose so many people for the kingdom. What is nose ring compared to the people not believing me for nose ring? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What can a man offer in exchange of one soul? Is it nose ring? If nose ring is going to be a problem, I remove it and throw it away. All this vain argument is tattoo a sin. It's for children. Another funny thing is trying to make heaven. That argument too is for babes in Christ. The call is not to make heaven. The call is to bring the influence of heaven to the earth. To inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. And listen, no form of unrighteousness has capacity to inherit the kingdom. That's why we don't live in sin. Because we will be capacitated to inherit the kingdom on the earth. God's goal is that as it is in where, so should it be here on the earth. And we need a body capacitated, a holy body, a righteous body, to be able to allow God's power, kingdom to flow through it and rule over the affairs of men. Are you listening to me? All these other arguments are vain. As believers, will you make heaven? If you do this, will you make, if you sleep with a woman, will you make, that's stupidity. Because God's dream is that we bring the influence of heaven. And not sin cannot allow that to be possible. So of course, a believer can't live in sin. Because his body has to be okay for the glory to find expression through. The word was made flesh and what? And we men begot the glory full of what? Grace and truth. Like the only begotten of the Father. Meaning if the word never became flesh, it will not be able to what? Dwell among men, and men will not be able to what? Behold the glory. The flesh is very important. It is part of God's redemptive plan for salvation. The flesh is not something bad on man that is making man go to hell. No, it's something good. God put the flesh. He gave us the body so that His glory can find expression through our body. For men to see His glory on the earth. And here comes the devil saying, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. You see that? Trying to negate God's vision for the earth through man. And that's why Paul said, no amount of unrighteousness, no act of unrighteousness can inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. He said, it now goes further in that part of scripture. He said, for you were bought with a price, to the end that you glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. And he told you, he doesn't want dead sacrifice. He wants living sacrifice. Meaning, how God will know that you understand what he did on the cross is that you are alive and a living sacrifice to him. He is using you to show forth his glory while you are alive in this body. Are you all listening to me? And listen, he's not just putting a burden on us as a live above sin. He has given us everything it will take for life and what? Godliness. You see that? He has given us everything. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, right? 1 and 3 and to 4, right? As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us what? Next part of scripture. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become what? Having what? Now you've known. What do you do? Visualize it. Having escaped. Have escaped. See yourself escaped. Ladies, I have lost problem. You don't have lost problem. Why? You are a partaker of his divine nature. So the one that is partaking of God's divine nature cannot walk in loss. You see that? You imagine it. I can't walk in loss. Imagine yourself not walking in loss. Imagine all some sort of ladies passing and you are passing like you don't see. Because you are lost in light. You are captured in the glory. All you see is the glory. You see that? I'm a partaker of his divine nature. These are the things God has given to us. So that there will be no problem in the church and in the world. Imagine a pastor understand this thing. Paul said the first thing that will happen is that you as a pastor, you are safe. Then he said those that hear you are also what? Safe. But when a pastor does not understand this, even if he is wearing suit, he will still misbehave. Even if he's wearing white collar, he will misbehave. You see him chasing members in the church. Why? He just has the office of a pastor. He has not been fortified by God's word to live in the reality of what a pastor means. You see that? So, there's a difference between being called and being prepared to fulfilling your call. And that's why we hear evil reports even in the church. And we heard that. We heard that so-so brother slept with so-so sister and so-so sister got pregnant. Listen, I wouldn't fault every pastor that is their fault. But let me tell you the truth. 70% of the time, what we are teaching is what is causing this trouble in the church. Sometimes you are teaching, you think you are trying to fight sin by preaching legalism. Why will you spend eternity? Heaven is real, blah, blah. That's not it. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 7, he said, he that is dead with Jesus is what? Freed from sin. Did you see that? What makes you free from sin? The fact that you died with Christ. I think Romans 6, 5, NLT's rendition, 6, 5, 6, he says something profound. Let's see briefly. For if we have, from 5, he said, for since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. You see that? Next part of scripture. It says, we know that our old sinful desires were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Give me the Amplified rendition. The Amplified rendition. From 5. It says, for if we have become one with him, permanently united in the likeness of his death, we will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection. It's not futuristic. Watch out. Next part of scripture. It then says, we know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him. You see that? In order that our body of sin might be what? It's done away with. Imagine it. I'll tell you the truth. That's how to live in victory. My whole body, that body that always sees women and is like, wow, 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 is done away with. I've got a new body, man. I don't know how to teach this thing enough for you to catch it. Picture a new body. A body free from sin. Free from sickness. You see, that is why cancer cannot have its full course in me. You see that? There's no tumor in my system. They say you have tumor. No, no tumor is in me. Why? I have a new body that cannot be tumored. Body like that. No cancer in my system. No iota of cancer. You visualize it. Remember what we said in Psalms 1 and 2? And the other parts, 2 and 1. Imagination, the same root word in Hebrew for what? Meditation in Psalms 1 and 2. You see that? He said, when we imagine the word, what happens? We are like trees planted by the riverside. Imagine yourself in God's word. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. You see that? God has done everything for life and godliness. Remove God from your blame list. He has given you all. All. And one funny thing about sin is that when you sin, the consequences you will see it obviously is against you. Any sin you sin, the consequences is against you, not even against God. God is so lovely that he doesn't want you to die in sin. Physically, spiritually, sin kills you. Call the sins, they kill us. Because the enemy has come, but what? To what? And destroy. I saw a post one time on Facebook. The lady said she's from, I don't know if some of you saw that post, BSU, was this? Sociology department or something, linguistic, I can't remember. She said she has slept with more than 200 guys in the department. What department? English department. She has slept with more than 200 guys in the department and she has transferred successfully HIV and AIDS to them. So if you're in that department now and you did that thing, you will not be able to sleep that night. Because you don't know the lady and you are wondering, have I ever with any lady in this department? If the answer is yes, you can't sleep. Because the lady is anonymous. And the lady can be anybody. You see what the devil does? You thought you just committed a coded fornication. And you've had your... And some people know that's the first time they ever committed fornication. Probably the lady offered herself to them. And that was the first time in their... Have you seen people like that? Say, this is my first time to steal bike. And they caught them and burned them to ashes. He has come, but to what? To what? To what? You would have been a believer. You don't even know Satan is on your head. Then you are thinking of sin. As you just try it, you will remember everything you have done. Oh, now you even deliver people that time. Okay. Now you they do this thing. Now you cast me out. Okay. Now you won't come and join my team. No problem. Everybody's carrying women. You will carry marine. Everybody's carrying women successfully. You watch progress suddenly. Everybody were carrying women. The day he thought of carrying a woman, a marine appeared. Because he has been finding Satan's trouble. You see that? You see some of these people in clubs? Satan don't have their time. They'll be having successful fornications. But the day you decide to go to club, remember what the Bible says? He said he will come with seven others, wicked demons, to make sure that you are doomed for life because he knows you. You've got glory. That's why you be careful, young lady. You see the glory of God. When you sing, people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then one terrible sinner is asking you out. You are not hearing. Follow the vital basic instruction. You will not end up in error. You can't see the end of this guy's life. But they've instructed you not to marry a man who doesn't know Christ. A man who doesn't believe the things You don't believe. I mean, you believe. They've instructed you from God's word. Can two or three work together? No, except they be agreed. Husband, love your wife. Now, you've seen that. And sometimes the devil begins like, Pastor Simon is trying to make people just marry people in church, blah, blah, blah. The devil has done that to so many people. I know. He has done that. And all of a sudden, you are giving in to the young guy. Must all of us marry people that blah, blah, blah. Must all of us. No problem. You know, I heard this testimony from a pastor. He said his sister brought somebody. Immediately, his sister mentioned the name. His spirit said, no. He told the lady, no. She said, but you have not seen him now. Yusuf. At least see him. They brought him nice guy. When he came, he started telling the pastor about Kenneth Hagin. So I've been in his meetings. I've done this. I was in one of the conferences. The pastor was just looking at him. I was just, you know, as long as his sister brought, he has to sound nice. When he went away, the pastor still looked at his sister. I said, this guy sounds nice. Look holy. So the family loved him. At once, they love him. At once, everybody without discernment loved him. Because they know, you know, proud people know how to act humble. Fake people know how to fake realness. Someone unnecessarily trying to be humble. And like I heard a man of God one time, he acted humble towards another man of God on stage. He now said, I'm not like this useless generation who are proud. No. You acted humble. You are now insulting some people for being proud. They don't know how to respect. You have respect. Forget about your respect. Thank God. Let God alone receive the glory. You now insulted another people that they don't know how to respect. As if, my problem is that you call it a generation. A lot of times you are wrong because God has many who have not bowed to Baal. And that's pride. And all of a sudden, the lady went to the guy's house one day. And he was doing something with his other phone. So she now hurriedly, ladies are like that, hurriedly. You know, women can be inquisitive. They've read everything. That time I was with Mama T in the beginning. She came my phone and be gisting me some things in the phone. I'll be telling myself, so if I was doing bad thing now, that's how she will read everything. She'll be telling me the gist. So the other day, have you given the person that thing you are supposed to give? I said, who is that? I said, how did you know? I read it now. She'll start laughing. So imagine I was doing something wrong. They would have left me codedly. That's how they left that pastor. She saw nudes of other ladies in church. She saw stupid things you have done, slept with ladies in a particular ministry. She now collected the pictures and collected the numbers of the ones they slept with and had their nudes. She now sent it, called them, and said, go to that place. Your nudes are in that place. They are safe. She started calling all of them. So when they started calling him, she said, oh, sister, so called. He now called and started warning her. She had run to her brother's house, who is a pastor. She is in the house that night. She didn't go to her house. So he now called and said, well, you try that, I will deal with you, blah, blah. The brother now collected. I said, young man, you are stupid. No. He didn't collect the phone. He said, I'm coming to meet you, blah, blah, blah. He now told her, describe where you are. So she described. He came. As he knocked, they said, open the door. When he opened, the pastor just went there. He said, you bastard, leave this house. He almost ready to beat him up because he's even bigger than the guy, according to the pastor. He said, I was ready to beat him up. He now said, Pastor, I'm sorry, it's the flesh. It's my weakness. Yeah, talk. They say, what is your weakness? He said, following women. Mumu. What's your weakness? Following men. If I see men, I can't rest. You haven't called it my weakness. I told about a woman I met one time. I said, what is your weakness? I said, my weakness is that when I look for something, I don't see it. People are just creating stupid things. You just discover something about yourself. You call it your weakness. That's not the truth about yourself. The truth about yourself is God's word. The pastor is my weakness, blah, blah, blah. The pastor fired him. He said, with this weakness, you want to marry my sister in the weakness. And I told him, God will forgive you, but me, I'm not ready to give my sister to you with your weakness. Bye-bye. And it's the truth. God will forgive him in the future if you repent. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But me, I'm not ready to give anybody to you in your weakness, because you will still continue what they are doing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because it's your weakness. So sometimes these guys will just look all nice. Don't fall to them. I feel a strange anointing around here. Don't fall to them. Now they hear me. Anytime I do like this, some of you think I'm joking. I know what I'm saying, though. I mistakenly called him one day in this church to scatter. Alright? Don't fall a prey to the devil. Not even in church should you fall a prey to the devil. One time we were in church, there was this guy who was growing. He was looking like he was growing, he was not growing. And even my pastors wondered why I didn't anoint him a pastor. And there was somebody that came behind him, I not anointed a pastor. When it comes to him, I don't know why I don't want to make him a pastor. And one time, I started hearing some news. You know, I thought the people that gave news, I warned them that any time again I will hear news after it has finished, I will deal with you. I promise. If I just hear somebody's story, blah blah blah, and I now hear the thing after the person, blah, maybe 2 months later, I will ask which people were aware when he did it. The people that are aware will be in a big trouble. A lot of times when you say those things, you help those people to be changed. So I did tell you this secret now. I my weakness, you see, I don't follow 5 girls for this church. I did ask them out. But I don't know how to stop. That's my weakness. Don't tell anybody. Be wise. Tell HOD. Firstly, ladies are under threat. Report him. I don't want to report him before you to be like I'm the one that brought him out. Report him. You are helping his soul. So when they reported him finally, they said that time he was already misbehaving. In fact, Mama T was the HOD that time in the department. He was misbehaving. And Mama T will not take the nonsense. My friend, sit down. Then he started feeling like a woman or a lady is commanding him. One time I called him to my office. When I spoke to him, he now did like he was crying. I said, He now said he has repented. When he went back, the same character. You know, if his other pastors will say, block him, send him away, because he's their wife. I called him to my office. Now, that doesn't mean I take disrespect to my wife. I'll clear your doubt in 2 seconds. It will not be murder. I promise you, if you like, say I'm not a pastor, but it's the truth. He said, Prophet Samuel, I love. His wife, I hate. Get out. I hate you too. I don't need your love. It's a fake love. Because nobody loves me like my wife in this church. It's the truth. So you can't claim you love me and not love my wife. And again, I am my wife. I've become one according to scriptures. If he says he's anointed, believe that his wife too is anointed. It's the truth. Any woman that becomes one with me, we definitely know more than anybody in the church. Because you are always with me. It is through me you know. So why do you think the one with me will not know better? Free access to any question. Free access to my studies. In fact, you see the way my mouth moves when I pray. You have even seen my nakedness with God. So who can be better than you? You know, one time my wife said, You don't used to have time to teach me. We're dating that time. You don't used to have time to teach me. I said, as I'm talking to you every day, I might not teach you. She said, how? I said, listen to the way I talk. Listen to the things I do. I'm teaching you. And once in like 3 weeks, I teach her for like 10 minutes. Then I go. You think you want to hear 10 hours? Like I tell some pastors, say, you want me to teach you personally? It will never happen. Except very necessary. Carry message like everybody, cram it. Learn it. I taught people from spirit world. Yes, I'm not trying to brag. One or two. I discipled them here in Nigeria. We met on Facebook. And I said, you sound like our pastor, Prophet Kubus. Wow, you are so versatile in wisdom. Blah, blah, blah. Two pastors I remember. I don't know if they are pastor with people, but they attend the church. And while we're talking, they asked me, what is your secret? How do you come to this point of knowledge? And I said, by listening to the tapes and the messages. Okay, you've never met Prophet Kobo before. I said, yes. I said, Jesus Christ. And you sound like him like this. What is preaching? You know, people can really... Let me tell you something. One time somebody went to Kenneth Hagin's ministry. They traveled from Nigeria for the conference. And when they went, they saw people that left Kenneth Hagin's ministry. Like some of his pastors, they broke out. They were against Kenneth Hagin. Who can imagine that somebody will sit under Kenneth Hagin and say, Kenneth Hagin has a problem and break out? Now you were there far. They see the anointing like that. Those people there, because of proximity, they can look down the anointing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They were even doing a conference not too far from his venue. When people were traveling from Nigeria for that conference. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So sometimes it's like that. Focal point. When you are being instructed, listen. Are you listening to me? Listen with the whole of your heart. He has said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. Listen. So I told them, I listen to his tapes a lot. I listen to it. I sleep with Prophet Kobo's messages. See, I'm not trying to brag. If I don't read the Bible for 2 months, if I carry it to teach in a big conference, by God's special grace, everybody will be wowed. It is because of the discipline over the years. I tell you the truth. I've come to a point where I can quote chapters. You know me here? I can be reading it like I'm seeing it in my mind. There are scriptures I've forgotten that sometimes I'll just quote them, thinking it's not even right, like today. And it's right, because it's just glued in my mind. In all humility. So you want to learn, you want to know like your pastor. You don't, you know, even see some going to buy books. You are going to look for another book. And when you are reading it, you don't say, hey, see what pastor they talk. Oh, wow. Pastor is anointed. Okay, so if this person did not say that, see, nah, I'm not anointed. A Chinese proverb says, a good teacher is worth more than 100 books. A good teacher is worth more than what? You know why? That teacher is coming from abundance of reading. He has read so much. The things you are about to know, he knows because he has read so much. So he will now come and try to just summarize it in a very good way for you to understand. And all of his years of learning, he is giving you the advantage of knowing everything he has learned for years in one day. Not even one day, some minutes. And that's why the Bible says you give double honor, not single honor. Say that with me, where'd you go? Double honor to them that labor what? Meaning even if Aliyah comes here today, he should not be honored like your pastor. Even if Tinibu comes here today, he will not have a bigger chair. He will not be behind the pastors. Is it true? You think I'm joking? No, you watch us now. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's the truth. I did not disrespect him. I'm saying what the Bible said. Are you listening to me? So when you are in church, how you grow? If not, you'll be so amazed. Let me share something very vital. Sometimes as pastors or leaders, you may make this mistake. These things I'm saying. You may be amazed. Someone amiss the crowd. If you are not careful, we know far better than you. Because they are basically listening to sermons and knowing deep. Sometimes you may be deceived by your position and think, I think I need to know something deeper. Maybe what pastor is saying is quite light. You know, I have a friend. I led him to Christ. He's a pastor today. I led him to Christ in the barracks. He came here one time, Remy. Some of you have seen him. One time I was introducing one, Remy. He came here. Kunle. And he said something after. He said, Pastor, you sound so basic, but very deep. He said, if you listen, if people are understanding it. So because they are understanding, they'll be thinking it. But when you try to think about what you are teaching, it is very deep. It's the truth. It's called the gift of utterance. Are you listening? The ability to explain deep things in a very simple way. I was not always like this, though. If you had known me when I started, I used to lose everybody in church. When I'm done and I say amen, I'm the only one that understood and I'm going back home. I even know in my spirit, it is only me that knew what I said. And I don't used to stop. I'll just be teaching. You just be hearing people doing woo woo. They don't even understand why they are doing woo woo for. Wow. When I started making people understand, I knew. Because one day I sat down and listened to my sermon. I started smiling. I said, Kai! Nobody understands this thing I'm saying. I started trusting God for the gift of utterance. I saw where Paul prayed for it. So I began to pray for it. It's not a flex that you come to church and say things and people will be like, I don't understand. And you'll be feeling like champion. It's not a flex. It's foolishness. Say, my guy, it's deep, ba. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? It's not any... So don't be feeling high, big, but there are deep things. See, my brother, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't understand. You don't know how to tell it. Are you listening to me? Very important. A lot of people are wicked in the way in their approach to life towards even you because they don't truly understand. They don't truly know. I told you my experience in Jos. This man of God was just bitter towards Prophet Kobus. I wanted to marry his sister. He's so bitter. So the sister told me he wanted to see me. And even if you are my junior in ministry, as long as I like your sister, you have authority to call me to come and see you. He is actually my junior in ministry. But he asked to come and see me. I said, oh, I want to see that your boyfriend. My brother said he wants to see you. I said, which of your brother? She called the name. I said, okay, no. I said, I hope you are not feeling bad. I said, no, I'm coming. Habba. It's not me that I want to marry. Even if your junior sister wants to see me, I will appear. And so I appeared. I went to his office, sat down as a chairman that he was, and I entered. Afternoon, sir. I did not say good afternoon. I said, afternoon, sir. No pride. He said, oh, pastor, how are you? He did not say pastor, sir. He said, pastor, how are you? I said, fine, sir. He said, you can sit. I said, thank you, sir. So I sat down. And we began to talk. She was just sitting outside. And while we're just talking about men of God, books and the rest. So, I saw some books. Combination were quite funny to me. T.D. Jakes, Joseph Prince, Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin. And if you have been in the things of God, you know, Kai, this combination is a flawed. They quite negate each other. So, I was just wondering. So, I said, oh, you listen to Kenyon? He was actually reading Kenyon, The Blood Covenant. I said, okay. Then I saw another one by the side. Can I come? I said, I was like, wow. Can I come? Like, is there? I was just calling the books. He was surprised because I would just see the face before the, because from the color I can tell the book. And the lady now said, how about Prophet Kobus? He said, Jesus Christ. Don't call that name. That's my role model. They just say Jesus Christ for. That man is an evil preacher. That man. Blah, 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 blah. That man. False prophet. But I don't still know why he's anointed as a false prophet. To cut the long story short. Me too. When he said, I hope you don't follow him. I said, I don't. As we're going, I was feeling arrested in my heart. I said, no. I can't because of a woman deny Prophet Kobus. No. It can't work. All my labors will flood. I mean, that's how they will go in one day. All the things I've learned. So while we're talking, I was waiting for a way. The Spirit of God should pave a way for me to just talk about that thing. Somehow the Holy Ghost just helped us. And we started talking. So I said to him, he was talking about Kobus. He insulted the teachings. And I got to the point, I was like, and I said, but why do you hate this man like this? What was the problem? He said, this message about immortality, blah, blah, why would it be blah, 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 blah? I said, ooh. I said, really? Yeah. I think I had a problem with that sermon too, and truly I had a problem with it. I said, but when I thought about it deeper, then I saw that was the last thing I said before I was talking for over 30 minutes. I saw that blah 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 2 Timothy 1:16 blah blah blah. I said teaching. I said, yeah, it's not for, it is a present reality, but there's a condition for the reality to find expression. When I broke it, it was like, wow. I said, so sir, sorry, I have to stop now. He said, no, continue. So I went ahead for like another 30 minutes. So I said, no, I have to stop. You came to interview. He said, interview what? He said, this is the gospel. That's what he said. Then when he said, this is the gospel, he said, man of God, that's the first time he called me man of God in the conversation. He said, how can we preach this gospel? I said, start from where you are. The kingdom of God can be likened to a mustard seed. The kingdom of God can be likened, as I give you one of the parables of the kingdom, can be likened to a yeast. Can be likened, when you start from here, you think it's small, but the effect is growing wide and big. And he said, man of God, I said, yes, sir. He said, no, it's you there, sir. I tell the truth. He stood up. He said, can you please stand up? I stood up. He now said, can you, this is my auditorium. Can you stretch your hands? oh, God of mercy. He said, can you stretch your hands and pray for my auditorium? I don't know where all those things came from. So I thought he would just, before I opened my eyes, he was kneeling on the ground. I saw him on the ground. I lifted my hands. I spoke words over the auditorium. He said, that's not all. I want to hear my conference every year, sir, as long as Jesus lives. I said, oh, okay, no problem. Oh, for the in-law, you know, I can come for free if you don't mind. And I didn't go again. Now you understand why. The deal is broken, brothers and sisters. Relationship didn't work. He was unfair because it's the gospel that connected me and him. I don't know why he took that in personal. So we broke up and the deal broke up. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you see, my point is this. See how he became all of a sudden humble because he understood the gospel. The goal is not that you shame somebody by knowledge. Some people are just there playing religion. There's useless pastors. The Bible says, preaching good somebody. No. The goal is, we can tell the goal from the arrogance way of speaking. The goal is that they learn, not they be shamed. Now you teach it in a nice way. If they refuse to learn, it's not your fault. There is nobody that will listen to you when you insult them while you are teaching them. Nobody. You can't make somebody feel small and say you are teaching the person. My friend will say, where are these boys? When did they start? According to the Bible, blah, 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 are you here? The guy will feel intimidated. He may be doing like, you know what you are saying, but you are a stupid man. For the sake of your character, that person will not hear you. Even the Bible teaches us that. The Bible says it's not enough to teach the truth. That if you truly know the truth, you will teach it in love. Are you all listening to me tonight? Final scripture about imagination, and we pray. The book of Isaiah. You know, there's even this part of the Bible in Genesis 6:5 that says something profound. Imagination has actually, there are wrong sides of imagination. You know, the Bible said in Genesis 6:5, I think, it said the people imagined in their heart a vain thing, wickedness. Can you remember? And all of them came into reality. If Satan wants to do wickedness, he paints a picture in your heart. If he wants you to cheat on your wife, you will not just stand up and start cheating on your wife. He will paint the picture of you and that other woman on bed. Some people are doing like they don't understand what I'm saying now. You paint it. You see the woman jumping, blah, blah, blah. He suggests you've not seen yet. It is when you accept those thoughts that you become a sinner.
That's why while I was growing up, I imbibed the discipline. Even if I would die, I'm not turning back. Even if I would die, I will not turn back. It was one of my disciplines till today. By God's special grace. Not by power, not by might. If you like, ba, carry house on your back. I will not turn. As I look straight and notice that's the kind of human being, I will force myself, no matter what, I'm at the front. I'm moving. I'm thinking of, it's just a discipline. No matter what, don't turn back. If you turn back, you'll be changed into a pillar of salt. It's a discipline I learned many years ago. And if I must commend you, I commend you well. Some of my pastors have been with me when I commend ladies, and they were shocked. I remember I was commending a lady one time, looking at me. We were just passing, I said, wow, I was not married that time. I said, you look so beautiful. Amazingly beautiful. And I shook the lady. She was smiling. I walked away. I didn't call her a number. Because I didn't want to think about that beauty. So I told her my heart. You look beautiful. So amazingly beautiful. I shook my head. She was just blushing. I said, how are you? She says, I'm fine. My pastor was just looking at me. And I hold him. I say, are you feel good? She said, you just spoke to the kid. You have mind though. I said, I'm teaching plenty of people. Is it to speak to one 16-year-old girl that I cannot speak to? I said, when I was done, did I collect number? He said, no, sir. I said, be warned. Learn properly. If you must comment, when you are done, don't collect, walk away. Don't now use evangelism. I said, I want you to visit our church. If you know it's not church that's making you collect number, what do you do? When we're younger, we didn't have knowledge so much. When a lady is so beautiful and she is passing, we just begin to pray in tongues. You hear something like Liba Hande Paratosh. You understand what the guy is saying in other tongues. Then you respond, Lerondis Kafelia. Then you hear something like God is wonderful. You see us raising our hands. So wonderful, glorious in his work. What a walking work of art. God is so creative. We are talking to ourselves. Straight to church, nobody will turn. Then you hear something like, you turn and you are changed into a pillar of salt. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's how it is. You know, many years ago, I was with some pastors. They were being counseled by a senior pastor. He was counseling some of them against lust. So he said these words. He said, anything you imagine with other women, if the devil brings it to your heart, picture your wife and the devil will run. The Lord give you understanding. You didn't get what I just said, right? He said, when the devil brings a wrong thought about other women, he said, just put your wife in the picture. He said, the devil will run away. The devil come back now, come and continue. He will run. He just remove the lady and see your wife's face. He said the devil will run away. And that's for married people. For people that are not married, you rebuke the devil. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isaiah 26 and 3. Some of these teachings are for relationship summit, so I'll not teach them now. Lastly, you keep him in perfect peace, those that their mind are stayed on you. The root word here is yetzah, is a Hebrew word. Yetzah. It means a form. Figuratively, it means a conception. Yetzah. I want to say something, that's why I'm saying that.
Yetzer is the same root word for imagination. More of imagination in the Old Testament. And Yetzer there is interpreted in English as mind. So let me read the scripture now. You will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination he stayed upon you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose what? Imagination he stayed upon you. Vision to victory. From vision to what? From vision to what? Hallelujah to Jesus. You can't vision it, you will not see it. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, that I have given. You can't vision it, meditate, stroke, imagine it, you will not see it. In other words, if you want to walk in perfect peace, peace in every area, seeing the hand of God in every area of your life, the Bible says, keep your imagination on him. Let your imagination, the only way to make sure that your mind is stayed upon God is that you are imagining his word. That means by imagination we either put our heart towards a direction or another direction. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? That's what the Bible says, bringing every thought that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Imagine the right things. Little wonder Paul said, whatsoever is good, think of it. Whatsoever is nice, whatever is worthy of good report, think of nice things, not small things. Think of holiness. See yourself living in the victory. I'm not in stress. I'm living a life free of sin. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Are you here? Imagine the right things. Imagine them. Sit down. You must have time for imagination. See, other people in other religion, like these guys they call the monks, the Chinese monks, they understand this. They do amazing things without the Holy Spirit. Those guys can use their hands and break blocks. Hands. And break blocks. More than 3 blocks. Because they will say some things, I've been imagining it. That the strength is not on their bone. The strength is in their mind. So when you'll be so shocked, they'll use their hand. You will be saying you cannot stretch your leg from here to here. You have seen somebody stretch his leg to this place. He will tell you it's a thing of the mind. You think it's a lie. Leg is touching like this. How many of you watch the Olympics? Somebody will raise her leg to cut like this. Cry your own. You hear poke. Poke. Imagination. As a man imagines in his heart, so is he. So sit down and imagine things. You wake up in the morning, imagination sessions. You just start speaking God's word. You are picturing. That's how to even listen to sermons. Don't just be listening. Be picturing yourself in the reality of it. Be picturing. Oh, I live like the devil doesn't exist. Wow. Glory to God. You don't think about the devil the whole day because he can't come now. You know, that other part of our land, we paid in full. And one of the elders wanted to try something funny with us. And at the end, he not trusted. He said, if you get into that land, you are getting into trouble. Woo, I loved it. I went the next day. I went the whole week. I went the whole month. I was waiting for the charm planted. I would have seen it and put it in my water and bath with it. Oh, I love that. Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are seeing Transformer, you are going to hug it. You are looking for trouble. I know who I am. If you see me in the speed, light are just electricity, light everywhere. I can light the whole world. You know the kind of transformer that I am? Light of the world. Then one thing in one village. Say me, I will not enter a land. Whoa. Then we now call family meeting. What family prayer? What a joke for one madman in the village. I'll call my last born. and give her the picture or his picture. Him, they just call his name and drive him. He's one rat in the village. Not your whole family, eh? In the name of Jesus. Putting an heaven under stress. Heaven is concentrating in one man. I tell you, some way I get pain off my body is by chasing the pain. I was coming today to church and this pain was so strong because I didn't eat. It was so strong, suggesting it was ulcer. I said, be there if you can. That's what I said. Before I got to where I was going to, the pain, whew, it's gone. I didn't say, re-go-go, re-go-go. There was something I imagined that brought about the words I said. I know who I am. See, I have a new body. I have a new body that cannot be infected. That can, they say you have toilet infection. You visualize the victory. By his stripes, we are healed. I'm healed. See yourself healed. See yourself eating your best food. See yourself enjoying your life. Say, this pain, it has been on my legs for so years. I don't know why it doesn't want to go. You don't know why. Talk to the pain. Pain in the name above names. Leaves my... That's the way you imagine yourself. Bought with a price. God, none of my bones can be broken. New man in Christ. New body. Then this pain, get out! There's one pain in your tooth. It's paining you for over 3 years. You are managing it. You lay your hands and say, pain, go now. Go now. Teeth that is supposed to grow is not growing. Teeth, grow. Grow. Adromax said one time, he wanted to see the dead being raised. So he started looking for all the scripture. It was through him I knew that it was in 8 places. I think 8 to 10 places. I think 8 places in scripture. He outlined all of them where Jesus, God raised the dead. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. So he got all the scripture. Then he started playing the actor in the scripture. He said, when Jesus called Lazarus, Lazarus! He said, he imagined to a point that he now shouted, Lazarus, come back to life! He now said, oh, I'm Andrew. He said, and Jesus, then he said, and Andrew said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out! He said, so when they now told him, the elder son said, daddy, the younger boy, blah, 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 is dead. He said, they were traveling for like 6 hours. He said, let nobody touch the body. We are coming. So he said, the normal pain, you know, when somebody died, all of them were coming to his mind, his wife too. All of the pains, you know, the fears, the trauma. He said, no, he still kept on praising God. When he got there, the boy was lifeless. They've naked the boy, put him in the mortuary. He just came and said, in the name of Jesus, come back to life, call his name. He sneezed and came back to life. You know, sometimes there's unbelief, but when you speak, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, the faith may be very small. But think about it. You think it's easy that you heard that your son died and all you are doing is faith. They may be crying the faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We were with Pastor B in this hospital called Pishon. A lady lost her son, her first son, only child, over years, no baby, finally lost him. And Pastor B said the lady started crying, because we were there to see one of our members. She started crying, and naked herself, everybody now ran, the men ran away from her. They left her. She started praying, God Almighty, you cannot allow my child. I'm telling you the truth. Prayed bombastic prayer. My mother will say, now who no get problem, they pray to God for English. She said, now who no get problem, they speak English in prayer. I will never forget that statement. It's the name of cheer. Hoy. She said, the woman, she was telling me, we were in the hospital, but we didn't see the scene. She said, sir, so a woman just brought that child back to life. I said, where? She said, that word. She was telling me the story. And while she was talking, they declared the child. While she was praying and shouting, the boy sneezed back to life. She now told her husband, when people were celebrating, she called her husband and said, "We will start going to church. We must start going to church from this Sunday." Meaning she was not even going to church. You are coming to church. You have been partnering in church. Then something, He said then his wife fell. She hit her chest. Blah, blah, blah. Had a heart problem. She now died. He went back, called his wife back to life. He now mentioned more than 5 instances. Somebody died in church. Called the person back to life. I was just on my... And these are thoughts. So the word of God says, blah, 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 blah. It's not by... Know the truth. You will know the truth. And the truth will what? Make you free. Are you listening to me? I can't live up. I can't live in sin. It's not possible. You know, sometimes you are even fighting yourself. It's called a fight of faith. It's a good fight. It's like you have, I know who I am. It should not happen to me. You know, there's some kind of experience you have. You say, no. Not like that. My finances cannot be doing like that. You are refusing it already. The Lord gives you an impression. You know this thing is wrong. You just receive a witness in your spirit. No, this experience is wrong. I know God may be preparing me, but this one, it is the devil. You go into your room, lay shaka bababaya. Command him off your finances. Because he's a thief. Are you listening to me? Live a faith life. That's the fun of it. Live a faith life. Everything is not logic. You will not buy everything for yourself. Say, "I would like to get that car." Somebody will give you. Somebody who doesn't know your father and your generation, he will give you the car. That land, you get it. That oil well, you dig it. How can these things be? The hand of the Lord will come upon you. And that vision in your heart will become a reality. How can this? She asked a question, Mary, innocently. But my God, how can these things be? The hand of the Lord will come upon you. So it's not even men we need yet. It's the hand of the Lord. Oh Lord, your hand is upon my life. His hand is upon us. When the Spirit is poured from on high, in and upon us, is that the wilderness will become what? A fruitful one. Are you here tonight? Joshua 1 and 8. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Joshua 1 and 8. Oh, glory. We read from verse 7. The Amplified rendition, Joshua, from verse 7. I'll close with this. Are you ready to pray? Yes, only be strong and very courageous. Careful to do everything in accordance with the entire law which Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it. Because Moses' writing represented God's word in the Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Since God's word was not revealed yet, they were walking with the things Moses had said to them. But the Bible said, Christ is the end of the law. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Moses' words represented God's word in the Old Testament. It said, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Look at the way God wants them to focus. So that you may prosper and be successful wherever you go. Meaning you must set your mind like where we just left. Cause your imagination to be stayed upon the Lord. Don't turn from here. Don't turn to that side. Refuse to be shaken by the wind, by the flood, by the cares of this world. Refuse. Get your heart focused. Get your imagination in the right place. You are imagining the victory. Satan bring wrong pictures in your heart. Keep on imagining the victory. Keep on. He will bring wrong suggestion. Keep on. Sometimes you are praying. You will not suggest. This is your prayer. What if it does not work? The Bible did not say it may not work. It said this is a victory. This is the confidence we have in Christ. That when we pray, the Bible did not say he may answer us. It said when we pray, he answers us. Daddy is coming out from the hospital. That's the only thing that will happen when I'm done praying. When I'm done praying, he must come back from the hospital. When we believe in, we have received in the prayer, then we shall have. No, receive it in the prayer. You shall have it. Next part of scripture. The Bible says, the book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. You see, meditation involves your mouth. Are you seeing it? It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it. See? It shall not depart. Meaning the meditation should be, oh, I know who I am. Oh, I know who I am. It's creating pictures in your head. Pictures in your spirit. Pictures in your mind. David spoke about the possibility of his words, writing words in his heart in the book of Psalms. You see that? That when you speak, you are painting pictures in your mind. If it's not painting, it's sustaining the pictures that have been painted. But you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. He said, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will. Hey, are you tired of being like this? Make your way prosperous. He said, you will make your way prosperous and you will be successful. And KJV said, you have good success. Very good success. I only think victory. No. You can't. I can't be caught thinking something wrong. I know who I am. I know who I am. Oh my God. The Bible says Abraham, against all hope, had faith. Meaning he was waiting for the reality to be manifest. It was not coming. Yet Abraham continued in faith. Because he knew who has promised him. He knew the person. I know the character of God. He cannot lie. If he said, I'm going to have it, then I have it. And this is a promise. For we are not going to get it in God. We've got it in God. That's why we're insisting in prayer. We know it must happen. We know it must happen because God said it has happened. So you see, we're not trying to make something new happen. We're trying to make sure what has been done becomes actualized in our lives. Let it not depart from your heart. Your mouth. Meditate to do it. And you will make your path successful. You will have good success. Oh, I know who I am. I can never be in sin. They say, why are you saying that stupid thing? How is it stupid? Their heart is full of religion. God said we can live above sin. So I can live above sin. If you don't expect to live above sin, you will definitely be in sin. And the consequences of sin is what? Death. I'm above. Glory. It's not a big deal. I'm above. No. It's not that stressful. I'm above. I've conceived it in my heart. I'm above. I can't sin. No, I can't. You're not arguing with nobody. Close the doors like Elijah said. Close the doors. Let the neighbor not come and advise you from logic. That's when you will see the oil multiplying in the other containers. Close the doors. In the name of Jesus, I'm above sin. I live above sin. I can never be subjected to sin. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. All for life, all for godliness I have received by one man, Christ Jesus. Oh, I'll never be found lacking in my life. Oh, all my needs are met. My children are having the best life. In the name of Jesus, I will never be found in lack. Oh, glory to God. This sickness is gone. I don't see sickness in my body. No, I do not. No cancer, no ulcer. I can feel it, but I know it's not there. Do you understand? Do you understand? Ulcer, you are not there. You can feel the pain, yet you insist. Ulcer, you are not there. Is that clear? In the name of Jesus, sir, you are not there. I insist, you are not there. No, ulcer, you are not there. I only see myself in health. In the name of Jesus, I only see myself in health. Ulcer, you are not there. My system is perfect. Cancer, you are not there. My system is perfect. By his strength, I'm made whole. And you, devil of infirmity, get out from my body in the name of Jesus. I may feel it, but I know. The Bible did not say when you feel it, it will happen. It said you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I know I'm above. They say I cannot eat a particular food because of social sickness. Lord, in the name of Jesus, my blood streams is pure. No sickness in my blood because I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I have your blood. I have your body. I have a common union with your blood. I have a common union with your body in the name of Jesus. The Bible says I'm a new creation. That's what your word says. My body is new. My blood streams, they are new in the name of Jesus. Sickness, get out now. Get out from my body. Oh, glory, 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 glory. You prayed the first day. And the next day, you don't say sickness, get out again. Because you told it yesterday, it listened to you. It listened to you, you are a king. What do you do if you still feel the symptoms? Lord, I thank you. Because sickness is not here. I thank you. I insist on my righteousness. Shekanda barakos, rina makonde le barata, repondia kasonia talia, shampaka pandea. Shenamaya o manane bakarado sananane. Shenanane bakarade manado. Be on your feet as you pray in the spirit. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty.
Banda bada kaba bande kaba bade rege baba sakata sakata jaga bade bade rambo kusho paka papa lekanda jaga panda katonde babariato jaba kaba taka talaria kata rege bade kabando sokopo eshaba pala kata lekata bale kaba bade rependo koto epakata shaba kaba baba baba eshaba kadia kata kata lekara baba 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 baba. Shaka ba 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 raka ba 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 shaba ba 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 elaka ba 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 raga da ba laga da ba 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 nada la laga da ba laga da ga da apaka ba 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 rega ba 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 shaba ba 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 da da laga da ba laga da ga da ba laga da raga ba 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 ga da ga da ba laga da ba laga da ba laga da anda ba da ga ba 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 ba. Shaba ba 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 ba
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's about to be a spark of revival in your life. A complete turnaround. You are in the receiving of all you've been praying about. Oh, Rabasha Nanamaya. Hallelujah. I want you to take like 2 minutes. Let's do something. Are you here? You're going to take like 2 minutes. Let's do something. We're going to imagine a victory and call it forth. You pray into it like you're in it. Are you listening to me? We're going to take 2 minutes. There's something pressing in your heart. That victory for the noun that must happen. You're going to imagine in 2 minutes. In 5 minutes. And call it unto manifestation. See yourself in it. Talk like you're in it. Act like you are in it. Sing and shout like you are in it. Are you here? Go ahead and raise a prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That when we pray, He answers us. The confidence we have in Him, but when we pray, He answers. Go ahead and pray.
Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Go ahead and pray.
Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
One minute to go. Call it. Catch it.
Catch it in the spirit. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Lay hold of it. Lay hold.
Woo! Shama ba 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 ya kubakaya. Reko shalabunde kabaya.
I'm in it.
Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shaba ba 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 ba.
I'm in it. Glory. Shaba ba ba ba.
Yes.
We dance on an empty grave. The victory is here. Woo! Glory, 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 I'm not able to sing that song. I heard a new song by some folks. It's such a wonderful song. In a part of the song, he said, "We dance on an empty grave." Sort of beautiful words. I said to myself, "We are dancing indeed. I've got the victory. Having the victory. Yes, Lord. We're in the victory. I can feel it. I have touched it. It's tangible. From henceforth, we talk the word. We're in the victory. Talk like you're in the victory. Hallelujah."
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.